Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. As you're turning there, a couple quick questions. Who was the fastest runner in the world? Adam. He was first in the human race. Why didn't Noah ever go fishing? He only had two worms. Last one. Who was the greatest babysitter mentioned in the Bible? That would be David. He rocked Goliath to sleep. Now you know you're going to repeat that. You know it. Amen. Now this morning, we are going to talk about one of the most prevalent and destructive sins that hinder us today. And that's pride. Pride is something that we all struggle with. It rips apart more marriages. It rips apart more homes than any other sin. It rips apart this nation more than any other sin. And pride is filling hell faster than any other sin. We're talking about pride. Pride is both dangerous and deceptive. It's deceitful. The one whose heart is filled with pride, they don't even realize it until it's too late. You see, the very problem of pride is what keeps them from admitting that they have a problem. Amen? That's pride. Look at Proverbs 16, skip down to verse 18. One verse. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This morning, I want to look at some warnings that God gives us about pride. First one we need to understand is that pride defies God. Pride is arrogance against God. So what is pride? We need to think about what is pride at the very heart of it. Pride is that sense of, I don't need God. That sense of not needing God. It's that attitude of dependence upon one's self. I'm okay, I'm strong enough, I can do it, I don't need God's help. I've been just fine on my own all this time. That's pride. Now I want to touch very quickly and shortly on what pride is not. We talked about this several weeks ago, and the fact in thinking lowly of yourself is not humility, right? The opposite of pride is what? It's humility, obviously. Thinking lowly of yourself is not humility. And we looked at that example in the Gospel of John chapter 13 where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Right? That is the perfect example of humility. Why? Simply because Jesus knew exactly who he was. Amen? Jesus knew that he was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty Creator. He knew all that. He just simply humbled himself. Amen? He didn't think lowly of himself to kneel down and wash his disciples' feet. He simply had a humble attitude, and he humbled his heart, and he washed their feet. Amen? That's the difference. Thinking properly of yourself, in God's perspective, according to his word, that is not pride. We should think properly of ourselves. Understand whose we are, and that each and every one of us has value. Amen? There is nothing wrong with thinking properly about ourselves. So pride is that attitude of independence from God. And pride usually shows itself in unthankfulness. Amen? Those that have pride will normally be unthankful for all that God has done for them. You know, they'll have a woe is me attitude, and they forget about all the goodness, all the good things that God has showered them with. Pride tends to think of itself a little better than the other guy. Amen? A little better than the other guy. You know, hey, I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad as that guy, right? That's pride. Plain and simple, that is pride. One thing I want us to understand is that we all have the same propensity to commit any sin that someone else has committed. That includes murder. Amen. We all have that same propensity to sin as anyone else. So we're not better than that other sinner. Amen. It's pride that makes us think that way. So here's a quick pride checklist. All right, you ready? Don't raise your hand. Don't answer out loud. Just think in your heart. Do you get agitated when corrected for making a mistake? Do you like to receive praise for things that are out of your control? Things that you have no control over, like beauty or talent. Those are things you're born with, no control over. Do you have trouble admitting that you made a mistake? When someone has hurt you, is it easy for you to just say, well, I can get along without them. Who needs them anyhow? Do you find yourself ungrateful and complaining a lot? Do you find that you have to win every argument? I did not see that finger pointing. I am not looking at that finger pointing. Good thing we don't have a camera out here looking that way. Woo. Amen, amen. So again, how'd you do? Don't answer it. Think to yourself. You know, that last one I struggle with. I'd be the first to tell you. And a lot of it has to do with trying to defend truth. But the more I think about it, the more the Holy Spirit convicts me, God doesn't need defending. Amen? Truth is truth. And my job is simply to present it, and if the person doesn't accept it, that's between them and God at that point. Amen? But I have a tendency to maybe keep pushing the issue. That's something I have to work on. Amen? But those quick questions really tell us, you know, where we stand with pride. And some days, hey, we're great. Other days, not so great. Amen? Listen, pride defies God plain and simple. Amen? Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These things the Lord hates. Now, that's a strong language, amen? But we need to understand that God is holy. He's completely righteous. These things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. What's the first one listed? A proud look. Amen? The number one on God's hit list is pride. Pride. Proverbs 16. Go back to verse 5. God says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Plain and simple, God despises pride. It's a direct defiance against who he is. It's a direct defiance against him. Pride, we need to understand, pride is the very sin that defiled Lucifer. Beautiful, perfectly created Lucifer. Pride is what defiled him. It turned Lucifer, the son of the morning, into Satan, the father of the night. That's what pride can do. Pride filled his heart, and he blatantly defied God. And we see this very clearly in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Listen to what it says here, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. That was Satan's attitude. That was pure pride that seeped into his heart. Change that beautiful, powerful angel into Satan. Not only did pride ruin Lucifer, but it also corrupted the entire human race. You know, back when in the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Eve, that temptation was not to simply eat a piece of fruit. The garden was full of fruit. Amen? Every type of fruit-bearing tree was in that garden. The garden was full of fruit. That wasn't it. The temptation was to be like God. What did we read there in Isaiah 14? That he would be like the Most High. And when we go back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. That was the temptation. He was saying, Eve, you would no longer have to bow down to God. You would no longer be under him. You will be like him. And he put that temptation of pride right in front of her. And pride turned Lucifer into the devil. Pride ruined the human race. We look around this world. We look in our own communities, our own backyard. All the suffering, all the violence, all the heartache in this entire world is a direct result of what? Pride. The original sin of pride. Amen? One thing we need to understand is when we have pride in our heart, that makes us an adversary against God. Do you know that? When we have pride in our heart, we then become an adversary against God. Listen to what 1 Peter 5:5 says. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's important for us to understand, that phrase. God resists the proud. You know what that word means in the original Greek? That word resist means to go against. That says here that God goes against the proud. The moment that we allow pride into our heart, we become an adversary to God. God is then against us. God resists the proud because pride defies who he is. It says, God, I'm fine without you. God, I don't need you in my life. Amen? We see that across this nation today more than ever. Pride. Second warning that God gives us, not only does pride defy God, but pride also defiles mankind. Proverbs 21. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Proverbs 16:5. We saw this part before. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Pride defiles the very heart of mankind. One of the best pieces of scripture on this, you go to the Gospel of Mark. Jesus breaks it down very simple for us and quite clear. Gospel of Mark chapter 7, skip down to verse 21. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, and then pride and foolishness. Listen to how he sums it up. He said, all these evil things come from within, come from our heart, and defile a man. Pride defies God, and it defiles our very, very heart. Third warning. Not only does pride defy God, not only does pride defile us, but pride also divides. Pride divides, and it divides with strife. Look at Proverbs 13. Very short and sweet. By pride comes nothing but strife. Pretty simple to understand, isn't it? By pride comes nothing but strife. All strife comes from pride. Pride causes us to be at odds with God, right? It defies who God is. So when we have pride in our heart, it causes us to be at odds with God. And when we are out of fellowship with God, we no longer have peace in our heart, right? We don't have that peace that we have that only comes with that fellowship with God. And when we are not at peace, then what do? Then we war with each other. Amen? You see how that works, how that vicious cycle of pride works? Pride causes us to get out of fellowship with God. When we're out of fellowship, we don't have peace. Where there is no peace, there is nothing but what? War. And we war with each other. Pride causes strife. Listen, is there contentions in your home? Then pride is there. Amen? There has never been an argument without pride. There has never been a war without pride. There has never been a division in a church without pride. That's exactly what pride does. Proverbs 28. Verse 25, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Pride is arrogance against God. It defies who God is. Pride is rooted in our very heart. It defiles us. It defiles mankind. And pride is the cause of strife, and it divides homes, marriages, churches, relationships. It divides society. When we get down to the heart of it, when we look at relationships, pride is the number one cause of divorce today. It's pride. We think of all the separations in relationships, it's caused simply by pride. You have the husband over here sitting on his throne of pride, and the wife is over here sitting on her throne of pride, then a problem comes into the relationship. A problem pops up in the marriage. What happens? Nothing. Neither one wants to budge. The husband wants to stay on his throne of pride. The wife wants to stay on her throne of pride. And they just want to point fingers at each other. Amen? Isn't that what happens? The husband just wants to say, no, it's your fault. And the wife stays on her throne and says, no, it's your fault. Neither one wants to budge because of pride. Their pride and their ego. And instead of coming together to solve the problem, they end up going in opposite directions because of that proud heart. Listen. There is no problem too big to solve in any relationship. Only two people too small to solve it. Amen? No problem too big that can't be solved, only people too small to solve it. Plain and simple. In any relationship, both people have to get off their throne and turn that throne over to its rightful owner, Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus is the only one worthy of a throne in our relationships. They both have to turn their throne over to Christ, and then there is only one king in that relationship. Amen? And that is the rightful king, the one who's earned that privileged position. And what will happen? Their pride will turn into harmony. Amen? They'll start coming together instead of drifting apart. They'll start communicating and talking and working things out. And they're going to find that that pride is going to be replaced with harmony. Those contentions and strife are going to be replaced with harmony. Pride will divide wherever it goes. Pride will divide a home. It will divide a church. It will divide a nation. We see it today, unfolding before our very eyes. I want to leave you with this thought this morning, and we'll finish this message next week. This is just the first half of it. But I want to leave you with this thought. When Jesus is on His throne in our lives, then pride has been defeated. It's been slayed at Calvary's cross. As we bring this message to a close and we think about this awful sin of pride, it's easy to identify in others. We're quick to be able to point it out when we see it in someone else. But that's the danger of pride. It's hard to see in ourselves. It's deceitful. It's deceptive. And it came right from the heart of the devil himself. In that garden, He tempted Eve with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, most importantly, the pride of life. You can be like the Most High. The very sin that caused His fall is the very sin that caused ours. And it's something that we struggle with each and every day. When someone wrongs us, what's the first thing we want? Yeah, we want revenge. Why? Because of pride. How dare they hurt me? Because we put ourselves up on that pedestal. Look how much we hurt Christ. Let me tell you something. He's earned to be on top of that pedestal. It's pride. Every time we have an argument, disagreement, it's pride. What you need to remember in an argument, all you're saying is that I am right. And every time you say I'm right, what are you saying to the other person? If I'm right, then you're what? You're wrong. That's the heart of an argument. It's pride. I want to challenge your hearts this morning to take this message. Don't leave it in the pew behind you when you walk out that door. I want you to take it. Let it sink into your hearts. Let God's Holy Spirit work upon your heart this week. And pray each and every day before you start the day, Lord, help me. Help me slay pride. Let me put Christ on His throne in my life. And let me slay that pride. I'm going to challenge your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for this message, Heavenly Father. Sometimes it cuts deep, deep into our hearts, Lord. But Father, if we want to truly live and have peace and harmony in our walk, in all of our relationships with each other and on the horizontal plane, but also with You, Heavenly Father, on that vertical plane, we have to get rid of that pride. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit will convict us and keep us on that straight and narrow, Lord. Open our spiritual eyes to the pride that we have and let us get rid of it. Let us repent of it, Lord. And Father, we know the first step is by keeping You on the throne of our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray that our hearts are challenged this week, that as we leave here today, we leave as Your humble servants. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we give You all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.